What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from Off Guard, and I've got some exciting news. Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy Pasha Hagigi, is officially moving to our own podcast feed. We are now dropping two shows every week. Me and Pasha go way back and talk so much hoops already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on these conversations. Every week, Pasha and myself will hit on the biggest stories happening around the league. Tap into the show twice a week on our new Off Guard feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman. Let's put 30 minutes on the clock. You didn't introduce yourself.
I
got confused. I got scared. I was in charge of pushing the start in the clock, and I got confused. Let's just power through.
All right. We got a lot of stories.
I started the clock.
You started the clock. By the way, if you want to be a part of the show in the year 2024, give us a call at 646-STEW-138. Now, we were off last week because I was out of town and something huge happened to the tune of $900 million. It impacts my life directly. Chobani has acquired La Colombe.
I have so many thoughts. But first of all, I know this is very like personal. And
I'm really
to you.
Nervous. I'm really,
I
want to
know
really
like, how do you feel about this?
Really concerned. If my favorite coffee and the top coffee in the CPG space is in any way negatively impacted, I'll be devastated.
But can't you just like see this as a can of coffee half full and more just like, wow, great for this brand
I'm
that
happy.
I love so
yes.
much that it's worth $900 million. And two, maybe with Chobani behind them, they'll have more products, more accessibility, maybe even a cheaper price point.
And maybe definitely
let's be,
not.
Maybe let's be more La Colombe in your life now.
I have a lot of La Colombe. I'm like perfectly happy okay. with my La Colombe situation. So I'm nervous. You asked how I was feeling. I'm nervous. Here's my silver lining. Here in New York City on Prince Street and between West Broadway and I think it's Sullivan, two side-by-side stores are the Chobani Cafe and a La Colombe.
Mm.
So perhaps—
Break down that wall.
Perhaps this was a merger that was forged here in the streets of New York.
Oh.
Which is a Philadelphia brand, La Colombe. And so, but I'm just hopeful that perhaps this Chobani flagship indicate being next to La Colombe indicates they really understand the brand and they're not going to fuck with it too much. But if they do, I'm going to lose my mind.
I love the idea that you think this $900 million merger was made over like two employees having a cigarette break in the back of like a cafe and a coffee spot. Be like, hey, Gary, where do you work? I work at Chobani. Let's talk to our bosses. Maybe we can make $1 billion deal.
You asked for me to find a silver lining. So I provide
okay,
you
good.
With one.
I appreciate that.
Which is perhaps
there's
already a relationship. I will say, apparently, it's going to continue to operate independently. I don't really know what that means.
No, that never happens.
And I just don't know.
All right. No, can I spin this positive?
Sure.
We've spent 50% of our episodes of this podcast mentioning La Colombe in hopes that finally you'll be sent some free La Colombe. Perhaps if they're part of a bigger company with a bigger marketing department and promotion department.
They'll be looking for people.
Exactly.
If they'd like to sponsor this podcast, get in touch.
Yes, it's 646-2138.
Exactly. Here's the other thing. I bought a Loch Cologne t-shirt like a couple weeks ago because I was just like, I need some merch. I was just like, why have I been waiting? And the reason I've been waiting is they're always sold out of the ones that I actually want. So maybe this will increase the merch and I'll be able to get something I actually want.
Like some people wear like a Led Zeppelin t-shirt because they like the music. You're like, this is my favorite canned coffee.
If there's anything you know about me, it's that I like to rep for my brands. They don't rep for me, but I rep for them. And so I don't care if it's not cool. I love Loch Cologne and I want everyone to know via my t-shirt.
You just expressing yourself is inherently cool.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Anyway, congrats to Loch Cologne.
Good for Loch Cologne.
I'm glad that their greatness is being recognized like this. And I just hope that nothing happens to the Brazilian cold brew.
I'm pretty sure it'll still be available for you, Juliet.
Okay. All right. On the topic of coffee, other big news in the space, genuinely.
Huge news.
McDonald's is testing out a new concept. It's called Cosmic, C-O-S, capital M-C. And it's a beverage place.
So when they set this up, which I found interesting, because I was like, they have McCafe. So they have like they sort of did their, it's supposed to be like a direct competitor for Dunkin' and Starbucks. And
Cosmic is.
Yes. And what they're calling it is the afternoon pick-me-up market. And we all know, I don't need to explain what that is. But one thing I didn't know is the beginning of that sentence is the $100 billion afternoon pick-me-up market. Again, that's $100 billion. That is like, I don't know, 15 Loch Cologne companies worth of people buying a 2 o'clock coffee after lunch because they have to make it to 6 o'clock to finish work. It's wild that that is such a huge market.
Well, it's 2:17 at time of recording, and I just went to Dunkin' to get a coffee.
I had a coffee as well on my way over here.
So we're a part of this economy.
Yes. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you think about it, like, McDonald's doesn't have this because you'd get the coffee in the morning, you know, but it's available to you in the afternoon, but you don't go to McDonald's for like an afternoon caffeinated beverage. You'll go to Cosmic's.
Yeah, you'll go to Cosmic's. But what I find really interesting is the menu. It is supposed to be an alternative to Dunkin' and Starbucks in the afternoon, but the beverages are like Panera style of like the kind that might adversely affect your life and health. So I'm a little bit confused. I mean, I'm just going to rail off what's available. Tropical Spice Aid, Sour Tango Lemonade, Island Pick-Me-Up Punch, Berry Hibiscus Sourade, Blackberry Mint Green Tea. This is taking all of the highest calorie drinks at Starbucks and turning them into a new business. Blueberry Ginger Boost caught my eye, I will say. But like the amount of sugar in the Popping Pear Slush, the Chai Frappe Burst, I mean,
it reminds me a bit of like the beverage like stall at the movie theater. It's just like, yeah, we got a bunch of corn syrup, a bunch of caffeine, and a bunch of flavors. Whatever you want, go for it.
It's basically a sugar factory, which again is a nice pick me up. When I went to Dunkin', I was like, I'm really flagging. I need coffee and a donut. So I got my sugar and my caffeine. But like, this is pretty wild. I'm genuinely jealous of the people who can try it. There's one right now in Illinois.
Illinois,
Bolingbrook, Illinois. So if you live near there, please go and call us 646-2138.
So just to put a little bow on this, because at the very bottom of the article, there's a quote. Cosmic's concept is, quote, what would happen if a McDonald's character from the 80s that was part alien, part surfer, part robot opened a restaurant in 2023? What the fuck is that? What, the Hamburglar that's part robot, part alien, part surfer opened a restaurant? What? Was that approved? That quote came from like a PR person. What does that say to you about this place?
You forgot part of it. I just want to add, McDonald's described it as based on a character, a six-armed outer space alien who's part vehicle, part creature.
I think that's like a Simpsons character, isn't it?
It's like
I don't know Simpsons lore that well, but like a six-armed what?
I don't know. I do like that they're thinking about aliens outside of like the sort of like humanoid. You know, like the fact they could be part vehicle, part creature seems like an evolution on the idea of aliens.
If you ever meet Juliet in the street, she has some very interesting thoughts about aliens and what they may or may not be. They'll blow your mind. I think about it a lot more than you think I do.
I guess that means a lot for me. It means a lot to me. I also just want to note the interesting thing to me is like McDonald's has very good coffee. Like it is very good.
It is
and
very
you
good.
Know what you're going to get. So It's just funny that Cosmix has almost nothing to do with coffee.
No, and also, like, the menu items aren't necessarily the same either. And they're like, oh, by the way, you can also just get, like, a McDonald's burger and fries. It's like, wait a second. This is just the McDonald's with, like, sweet lemonades.
But then they also have, they have bites. Like, they have a snack box. And then they have, like, donut, filled donut holes, basically.
Yeah, but it's...
They're taking a lot of different fast food ideas and putting them into Cosmix. But, like Auntie M's, that's what the bites remind me of.
Yeah, but what they're doing is Starbucks at least tries to give the like impression that you're eating some sort of like a whole grain or some actual real food.
Brewed tea.
Cosmix is like, we're not doing that. Like, this is candy and super sweet lemonade with a little bit of flavor and caffeine.
It's true.
So, this is not for like anyone who's being health conscious whatsoever.
There's 10 more locations coming. They're coming to Texas. And I think this is really reflected on the menu because the last item that you can see on this menu is a Topo Chico.
Brisket flavored lemonade.
Topo Chico Sabores mint with lime. So
I love Topo Chico.
I do too. And it's, you know, it's the seltzer of Texas and Mexico, which are adjacent to each other.
Thank you for the geography lesson.
You're welcome. Shall we move on?
Yes.
To my hottest topic of perhaps the month. Tommy DeVito.
Oh,
Tommy
DeVito
Cutlets.
Time. Tommy
I'm
Cutlets.
So excited. Tommy Cutlets had won the great game.
Hold on. No. First of all, for those of you that are listening to this that are not football fans, Tommy DeVito is a backup quarterback for the New York Giants.
It's like the fourth string.
He grew up like 9 miles from where they practice. I feel like he's there out of convenience. But due
he's
to
from
injuries,
Northern Jersey, yeah.
Due to injury, he ended up like playing for the team. And the first time he played, they wouldn't let him pass the ball. Right? And
they're like, we don't know if he can.
Yes. They're like, we're not sure. He's like, we had him around as like a mascot character for the quarterback room. And then
he's a vibes guy.
And then all of a sudden he won 3 games in a row for the Giants. And then he's like, became this huge phenomenon, particularly in New Jersey, particularly amongst the Italian American community. And he's got this signature hand gesture that he does as a celebration. And he became it's like a Lynn Sanity thing on a much smaller scale in a different sport.
Yes. And he's been, as you said, embraced by the Italian community of Northern Jersey.
Yes.
And their restaurants.
Yes. And prior to the event that you're saying, I know a lot about Tommy DeVito. He has had these events where he'll be at a place, a deli, like an Italian deli in Jersey. And what happened was people were like really showing up. I'm talking like 500 people lined up around the block. They would bring him like undershirts to
it's
sign.
Huge.
It's like a thing.
Yeah. If you are like just a kid in New Jersey who dreams of being a quarterback.
Yeah.
This is like the most
inspiring.
And you
love the Giants?
Yeah. It's like the most inspiring story ever. It's just like, be a vibes guy who's good enough to be the fourth
string.
But
he won 3 games in a row.
Including a really, on Monday Night Football against the Packers. And
yes.
So immediately following that game, he was supposed to be doing an appearance at a place called
Coniglio's.
And he was supposed to do it for $10,000. That was his appearance fee. And then he gets one big game.
Big game.
Monday Night Football is a big deal.
And
Troy
also,
Aikman did not want to believe in him, and he had to.
And on Monday Night Football, this is important, there was a picture of his agent, and his agent was dressed as a Halloween costume as a mobster. Literally had a pinstripe black suit on with a black hat.
Yeah.
And he looked like a caricature of someone who's Tommy DeVito's agent.
It's hard to not reference The Sopranos in talking about Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
Like, we can just be honest about it.
Yes.
Like, that's...
You know, I've never seen Sopranos, right?
You're really missing out. So after he wins on Monday Night Football, his fee goes up to $20,000.
The agent says, I know we said $10,000, but how about $20,000? And Kiklios is like, F you.
Fuck no.
We'll cancel this thing. We don't need Tommy DeVito in our pizza shop. And they also, I saw the flyer, so they're charging $250 to 50 people to do an autograph and a meet and greet, all right? $250 times 50 is $12,500. The fee was supposed to be $10,000. The extra $2,500 is just like, you know, staff and things, so they kind of break even on it.
No problem in them trying to make a buck.
No,
it's
and
local
they're
business.
Barely making a buck, though, but they're just like kind of getting people in the door, getting familiar with the Coniglio's experience. But at $20,000, now I'm losing money. Like, just no, you can't just double it for no reason. It gets in the paper, especially the Post, and now he does the appearance, as they say, on the arm, gratis.
Which is the right thing to do. And also, karma's a bitch because he got blown out last weekend.
Yes.
I just want to shout out Coniglio's. Coniglio's, when they posted about this, they posted a video of Eli Manning just like having fun with pizza dough as like, this is our real Giants QB.
Two Super Bowls.
Really famous. Yes. Super beloved. Humble dude. Funny. It's like.
Comes by Caniglio's all the time. He's just for fun.
Here to toss some pizza dough.
Yeah.
But I just love that Tommy DeVito's brand is associated immediately with this pizza situation. Plus, his nickname is Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah.
He's a food guy. He's an Italian food guy. And I absolutely love it. That's what he's been writing on people's undershirts. I think this is probably as good as it gets for Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah.
So I hope he's living it up.
But he's played his way into a true... He'll play next year as a backup somewhere. But there's also... I've got a lot of Tommy Cutlets information, but we've only got so much time.
Hit me with some more, man.
So he's doing another appearance at a burrito shop. And I was like, whoa! Wait a second. You're the Italian deli, Italian pizza shop guy. I don't know if burritos works for this.
Here's my thing on professional athletes, especially football players.
Okay.
Make as much money as you can as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So I don't think he needs to worry about that. But you know what it reminded me of? Remember when Zach Wilson, that like people really believed in him, and he was doing appearances at Playa Bowls, and there was like the Zach Wilson Bowl at Playa Bowls.
Yes.
So the winds change fast here in the city of New York.
Yes, they do. One more thing about Caniglio's, they do something that a place in our neighborhood does as well.
Who's our? You and Mike?
Me and producer Mike.
What is it?
Old school Coca-Cola.
Oh, nice.
They do the syrup with the seltzer and the mix it up.
They do that
at Caniglio's. There's a video of Tommy Cutlets getting a fresh made Coca-Cola with the syrup. There's a place by us that does that. And I'll tell you, you like Coke, you think Mexican Coke is good. Fresh made syrup Coca-Cola is the premier Coca-Cola.
Interesting. Is it an official Coca-Cola product that they're...
I believe so, yes.
Because Italian soda obviously is very popular. I think I need Italian soda to make a comeback in my life. Just throwing that out there. 2024 goal.
All right. Well,
all right.
Chobani, get on it.
Let's move on. Follow up.
Food news follow up.
If you recall, 10,000 Krispy Kreme donuts were stolen in Australia. The woman who stole them was found. And it took 2 weeks to find her.
Yes. I have some questions. So I watched the video again of her stealing the van. She clearly had no idea there was 10,000 Krispy Kreme donuts in there.
She just needed a car, right?
She's walking around a gas station without a car, being like, oh, you left the keys in here? I'm out of here. And then she's like driving the car. She's like, this smells funny. And then they found the car 2 weeks later at a car park, which is what they call a parking lot. But then they arrested her at a train station. So there's no mention of how they traced her. Like, we found the car, but did she leave a note in there being like, I'm taking this train at this time?
Also, where the fuck are the donuts?
I think the donuts were inside the car. Still.
Were they still?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh my God, I thought they were gone. Oh, I was confused.
Yeah, she didn't sell the donuts.
Did she eat any?
I'm sure she had a couple. You can't not. Imagine being in a car. If you're stealing a car.
And you can smell it.
You're probably hungry.
Also, if you're stealing a car, maybe like just to not have any credit card transactions and not have to like get any cash, you just eat the donuts for as long as possible.
Have you ever like picked up food in a car to bring it back to other people?
Yeah, and then your car smells like
your car smells. You have to eat a little something.
Yeah, especially with like greasy food, which donuts are.
Yes.
Anyway, her name has not been released, and we don't have more details at this time, but I'm hopeful we will get more details.
I'm good on this story.
You know what?
I don't think we need more details.
I want to know more about how the heists are happening, though.
Okay.
So that's
I want to know more about how they found the car and then traced her down at a train station hours later.
I think we need a consultant.
Were there footprints leading from the car to the train station?
Maybe.
Do you want me to call the police department in Australia?
No, please do not.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to do a follow-up on foot.
It's a great point. Maybe we'll fly
to Australia and do it.
Maybe.
Who knows?
All right. Next story takes us to the border in San Diego, where a large sum of meth and cocaine were found in jalapeno paste. $10 million worth of meth and cocaine. I added this to the rundown because I've never heard of jalapeno paste before.
Mm.
And I was just like... Is it smart to hide drugs in a product that's not common, or should you be going for like
whipped
cream?
You get pulled over, like, what do you have? Be like, jalapeno paste. Someone's like, never heard of that.
What's that for?
Yeah.
It just seemed like perhaps there was an excess of jalapeno somewhere, so they're like, we're going to make a paste.
Oh, no. So see, I see this differently. I see this as drug lords getting together and be like, all right, we've got $10 million worth of product. What's the one thing that can stop us at the border? Drug sniffing dogs. Like, let's put
the
drugs in the stinkiest thing that we also produce, jalapenos.
So do they smell jalapenos?
I assume so. They don't smell like, but people, you know, they always say like, oh, they put it in coffee or whatever. It's like, I think this is a...
Oh, it's like the scent.
Yes,
scent.
I think it's a cover scent is what I was thinking. But the dogs were like,
the dogs
yeah.
still found it.
Yeah, we smell the jalapeno. Good we try. Also smell drugs because we have much better smell than you do. And we can smell the drugs and the jalapenos.
You know what's really gross looking? Meth. Did you see the picture of the meth? It looked gross.
Oh, well, it was a bag of meth covered in jalapeno paste. Some guy with a glove covered in jalapeno paste. It looked like someone had just like bore the jalapeno paste and it just came from the womb.
It's just another reason to not do it. Just to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Looks
when
gross.
You said, you know, it looks gross meth, I was like, when have you seen meth? I was like, Julia, is this something we need to talk about?
Just to know it's in these
pictures.
I was pictures.
Very concerned for a second there. What experience do you have with meth?
None. And okay. I'm afraid of drugs. And I certainly do not feel better after this story.
Don't do drugs.
Next, moving on. Two tomatoes were lost in space.
Yes.
And then they were found. And so you can learn all this stuff about space.
Space took
and
tomatoes.
And like what it does to you.
But they weren't, they were not imported from Earth to space. They were grown in space.
It's like Matt Damon and his potatoes.
Yes, and part of a program that's meant to be like, can we grow food in space? Because eventually we're all going to end up here. Let's see if we can get the tomatoes started now.
They look like tomatoes.
They look like shriveled up tomatoes
shriveled
in a Ziploc bag, which is exactly what they are.
I'd like to taste space tomatoes. It's like pretty cool.
10
I don't want to go to space at all, but I'm interested in trying the fruits of space.
So you want imported tomatoes from fucking space? like Italian San Marzano tomato paste is one
available,
thing.
If it's available, I'll
try it. Space tomatoes?
If it's coming back to Earth, I'm curious.
Taste space.
Taste space.
Taste space. Yeah.
That's a great idea for Disney World, you know?
Yes.
Like it, so, next to Space Mountain.
I found a quote in this I found interesting as well, right? So they said, quote, astronauts report there are psychological benefits to time spent gardening, increasing their quality of life in space and boosting their morale. God, space sounds boring. God, like, I can't wait to water the tomato plants today. Like, oh, so what was the best part of your day? Like, I trimmed some leaves on a tomato plant.
What you're saying
God.
Is the Martian nailed it with Matt Damon and his potatoes.
I guess so.
I just want to say I'm very much on record as never wanting to go to space. The boredom is part of it. The fact that you might never come back. I don't want to be a Frontiers person. I'm good.
I'm fine here. I'll
Me
just
too.
Go down with this ship.
I agree.
I'm fine. I am fine.
I don't want the ship to go down, but if it is, I'm sticking here.
Yeah, I'll be by that. Yeah, I'm totally down with it.
On that note, it's time for our own morale boost, the taste test.
Oh, the taste test. All right, so I volunteered to be the taste test
Procurer.
Hunter and gatherer today. And I have a theme. I saw a lot of options. I know you have a sweet tooth. I saw chocolates. I saw candies. And I was like, let's go another way with this.
Wow.
So
you're like, I know what you like. I'm not going to go that direction.
Yes, exactly. You're welcome. The theme here is this can't be good.
Okay.
Okay? So these are things that are normally good that they've tried to healthify that cannot be good.
Okay, so we have Brad's Crunchy Kale Nacho Flavor.
So it's supposed to be like Doritos.
Is the supposition here that kale's ever good or that like anything nacho
is good?
This
is supposed to be like a Dorito. And then we have shiitake mushroom jerky. Like instead of beef jerky, we have shiitake mushroom jerky.
Okay. And then you got Figgy Pops, Choco Crunch, organic unbaked fruit and nut energy bites. I love figs. I feel like I'm going to like this.
Okay. Well, I feel like I'm not going to like any of this, but that's not going to stop me from trying. What are you going to
start
with?
With Brad's Crunchy
Kale. All right,
let's
work our way up to the Figgy Pops. And I'll start with shiitake jerky. I don't even like mushrooms. These things look like animal droppings. I'm not going to lie.
Brad's Crunchy Kale looks like trash. It looks like leaves taken out of the garbage.
Just take a look at this. If someone told you this was deer droppings.
That looks like deer droppings.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a shot.
I can't believe you're doing
this
to me.
This is terrible. This is awful. Guess what? Mushroom jerky tastes exactly what you think mushroom jerky tastes like.
Brad's Crunchy Kale on first taste has no taste. Then you get deeper into it. You're just like, why am I eating this?
I'll be chewing this jerky for the rest of the podcast. What,
this
we have 7 minutes
such
left?
A weird choice by you. Okay.
You're welcome.
I'm having a shiitake jerky now, a.k.a. animal droppings.
Oh, whoa. There's like, no. The crunchy kale does not look good.
It's not. This is like a fruit
leather
taste.
Why do people
taste.
Buy this? These aren't cheap either.
I definitely prefer shiitake jerky over Brad's Crunchy Kale. No doubt.
Shiitake jerky is disgusting.
It's disgusting. So
Brad's Crunchy Kale is much better. You know what? I'm going back for more.
I just had to swallow without chewing, like I'm on the challenge. It's like a food test, a food challenge. And I'm like not allowed to throw up. That was disgusting.
Mmm. I like that this one says low salt, same great nacho taste. So they had another version of this with more salt?
Let's look at the sodium content on there.
I can't speak sodium because sometimes it's like 120 milligrams. I'm like, is that a lot? Is that a little? I don't know.
Shiitake jerky is 560 milligrams. It's 24% of your daily sodium content. That seems like a lot.
And that's I'm sure there are 17 servings in this bag, but you really eat the whole thing by yourself. Yeah, two servings.
This does have significantly less sodium.
All right, let's go to the dessert.
I'm so mad at you. This stuff is just gross.
All right. Next time, I'll just get ice cream.
CVS, do better. I'm putting this on CVS. All right. So again, Figgy Pops, Choco Crunch. What's the ingredients in here? I'm going to read it out loud.
All right.
Organic fruit paste blend. That's number one. Parentheses. Organic dried date, dried fig, dried pear.
No.
This is a textural disaster.
Yeah, this is disgusting. Okay, lesson learned. If you want Doritos, get Doritos. If you want beef jerky, get beef jerky. If you want a little bite of chocolate, get a bite of chocolate.
This is probably our most disgusting taste test of all time.
Wow. You're welcome.
Can you think of anything worse? I'm having a hard time here. Like,
I can barely remember like last week's show, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
Once again, I had to swallow that chewing because it was too gross.
God, this is disgusting. Producer Mike, you want some?
Jacoby, this is horrifying.
You're welcome.
All right.
Extremes are good.
Is it?
For the show.
Okay. I'm excited to tell you my personal food news.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to hear it.
I went to a Italian restaurant on Houston Street and McDougal.
Oh, great.
I'm going to pull up the name of it. I had it open before and I fucked up. I don't know what to tell you. It was Maradona themed.
Diego Maradona.
Diego Maradona.
He's Argentinian. It's very strange.
Did he play for Napoli?
It's just a bunch of cocaine. Yeah, that's what it was. No one eats here. Just bring out trays of cocaine.
So he played for Napoli. So in La Liga. So okay. I think that's why.
Okay.
But it was
a very strange theme for a restaurant. It was like, guys, I'm opening a restaurant. Really? What's the theme? Diego Maradona. It's Argentinian? No.
That was the theme. It's Italian.
Are you serious?
No, it was Naples themed. And the theme of Naples apparently is Diego Maradona.
Sure.
That is not my personal food news, though. What? That's just part of it. Just setting the scene.
I didn't know you had a decoy personal food news.
This place is called Song in Napoli. And there's four of them, actually. There's two on West Houston.
Full chain.
There's one on the Upper West Side.
I'm really
going to
regret this when this becomes a national phenomenon.
And
gets bought by Chiabani for $1 billion.
I went to the movies with my parents, and afterwards we just like wanted to get lunch, and this was available.
What'd
we were
see?
Like, whatever. We saw Maestro, the Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan movie.
That's good.
Yeah. The food was very good. I ordered for us. We got a pizza. We got like a eggplant parm appetizer and a salad. The eggplant parm appetizer came in this dish that has like a grate on top of it. So you grate your own Parmesan onto it. It was really cool.
I like that.
There were two slices of pizza left over.
Okay.
My parents decided to bring the pizza home.
Okay.
Best pizza box I've ever seen.
What?
It was really well sized for takeaway. It was a box intended for not having finished your pizza.
Perfect.
It wasn't just a box of like, if you're having pizza delivered.
Have I ever told you I'm a former pizza professional?
You are? So, and also it was like, the box was also Diego Maradona themed as like part of the entire branding of Song in Napoli.
What is this?
But the food was really good. And it was the most perfect pizza box. And it was unique to this place. It wasn't generic pizza box. It wasn't like for just takeaway. It was for what leftovers. It was pizza leftovers
box.
I
like that.
And I loved it. We all remarked on it. We were like, wow, great box. And it's like a reason to go there and get pizza. It is.
Well, there's a lot of reasons to go there. I have a quick follow-up question.
Is it about Maradona?
No, not at all. When you say I ordered for everybody.
Yeah.
So they were just like, Juliet, go for it.
We were all hungry and didn't feel like spending time with the menu.
Disgusting.
Also, there was a QR code situation.
Oh,
I had pulled it up.
Yeah,
I was like, why don't
I
just order?
Yes.
And everyone was fine with it.
Yeah, they're like, I don't even.
It was the QR code situation. It's my only criticism of this wonderful establishment. Give me a fucking menu.
Give me a menu. COVID is over.
Also,
doesn't
spread on surfaces. So what's the fucking difference?
So can I have a menu, please?
You have a budget for the perfect pizza box. You can print out a menu.
Yes.
Like, just
you made pizza boxes with Diego Maradona on them. You can make a menu with Diego Maradona on them as well.
I really like this place. Other than that, Song in Napoli.
Okay. Mine is pretty brief. It is also themed with two items from this show so far, one of which is your Italian parm situation. Another one was Tommy Cutlets. I said to myself, Quincy, let's cook up some chicken parm cutlets.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, let's go to Coniglio's.
No. So what we did is we got some chicken breast and we did the whole thing. And we made our own chicken parm. First time I've ever made chicken parm in my life. I would do some things differently second time around.
Fry or bake?
Both. You fry, but not like fully submerged in oil. You fry and then flip in like sort of like
a half inch in the oven.
And then you put the cheeses on and the marinara and then broil it for a couple minutes.
What kind of chicken did you use?
We used chicken breast, thinly sliced, but I didn't pound it thin enough. Seconds. That was the problem. I'll do better next time.
I hate the meat pounding.
I love meat pounding.
You do?
Yes. It's just better. No chicken breast is better thick. Everything's better thin.
This is why I don't like to cook meat at home. I don't want to do the work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come over. Me and Quincy will cook you
I
up some Tommy Cutlets.
I know my limitations, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
All right. Listener food news. Let's hear it.
Hey, Juliet and Jacoby. Steven from Milwaukee calling in here. Big fan of the show, as is my wife.
Thank you.
Quick question for you. You are going on Below Deck, whether it's Mediterranean sailing down under, the Captain Lee version. And you have to fill out your preference sheet. What does your below deck preference sheet look amazing. Like? What is the one big meal you are requesting? And bonus question, what chef in a perfect world from the Below Deck franchise is preparing said meal? Big fans, keep up the good work. Happy holidays. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. First of all, I mean, we don't have 45 minutes. No, this is great.
I love it.
This is great. Steven is great. He knows exactly who he's talking to. Yeah.
Great job.
Pandering has negative connotations. This is perfect.
It's a successful pander.
Yes. And I know the chef would be the girl who was drunk, really drunk that one season, then got sober and came back. Rachel, I think her name is.
Oh, yeah. She got in the fight with Austin.
Yeah. I like her.
For me,
she would be my chef.
For me, it's Marco from Below Deck Sailing Out Season 3.
Oh, okay. And so I've thought a lot about this question.
Okay.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about what my preference sheet would look like. And here's what would happen at the preference sheet meeting. They would look it over and be like, this guy's chill. He's going to be easy. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be very specific about things that I want. And my big meal would be a local delicacy. If I'm in the Mediterranean, it'd be like, just give me the best of the fruits of the Mediterranean. If I'm the Caribbean, it'd be like, make me a Caribbean feast. And if I'm down under, it'd be like, whatever they eat down here, let's eat that. So my big meal would definitely be like locally sourced, as fresh as possible, fish from the water that we are now on top of with what the people around this part of the world eat. Because I'm not going to ask for fajitas if I'm in the Mediterranean.
I feel like you could request a fishing trip to catch your fish that then the chef has to use.
That sounds like a lot of work.
But that's the kind of thing they would do on Below Deck. For me, I would be very specific. I would need a lot of Coca Light. I'd be like, I'm out of the country. I need to take advantage of the fact that I can have Coca Light, which is similar to Coke Zero, but better. Need to have iced coffee, and it can't be too watery. And like, I'd be very specific about my iced coffee, as I am every day of my life. And I would actually request to not eat too late. They clearly are always eating
always
really late.
Too late. 9 o'clock.
I don't want that.
Yeah. Well, we all know that Juliet depreciates over time. So, everything needs to be pushed up early.
I need breakfast ready by 7. I need lunch at 12:30 and no later. And I need dinner last night for like a late night, 7 p.m.
Yes. And I'm a big smoothie person.
Yeah.
So, and I would be like, I'm like protein smoothie when I wake up, green, healthy. And a fresh, healthy, light. I don't want a heavy lunch either. And then I do a big dinner. Another thing I would say, I'd be like, no matter what I say, no matter what I try to pay you, no matter how many times I say, I know I put this on the preference sheet, but I'm not going to do it. Don't give me alcohol until like 11 a.m., okay?
Also?
Just let me get to like 11 a.m. without alcohol.
One final note on that, no wine. I don't want anyone with a wine hangover on my boat. So
really?
We're doing liquor and beer. That's it.
Well, you know, I don't really love wine, but what if Joey's on the boat?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Joey's not allowed to have wine.
It's a wine-free environment if I'm the primary.
No. Juliet, that's too exclusive. That is, no.
There was no restrictions placed by Steve from Milwaukee.
But your preferences can't be non-consensually applied to other guests on the boat. That's not how it works.
They don't have to come. If I'm the primary, I mean.
Just no wine?
Yeah,
no. What about champagne?
I don't know. I just don't want people like, I just feel like that's not a good way to start.
Wow.
We'll just keep it to margaritas, things like that.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you so much for the perfect pander to
shout
end
to Steven.
2023.
And Steven's wife. Year. What's her name? Jeanette?
It's been a great, I don't know. I'm not going to get it wrong. I don't think he said. Did he
you
say?
He didn't say. I'm just guessing.
Oh. We're off next week.
What?
Have a great holiday season or calm time, as I like to think of it, if you're lucky.
What?
Like, I have no plans.
I'm sorry. I know we're going over here, but you think of the holiday season as calm time.
Yeah, as a Jewish person, I don't have, like, any obligations. I'm not, like, involved in Christmas. I'm, like, I'm just, like, hanging.
Hanukkah's over. Just calm time.
Yeah, it's calm. I'm looking forward to it. I'm, like, going to read.
If people leave the city, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I'll be in the park. As usual, just walking around, being calm. I hope you all push the same for all of you. Thank you so much to producer Mike. Thank you for listening to
our
podcast.
Producer Sasha.
Thank you to producer Sasha for hanging out with us today. We'll be back in January
2024.